Well, hello and welcome to Creating New Awareness. My name is Val Hastings, and with me is my good friend Claire Pedrick from the UK. Claire is a master certified coach, and she is also a mentor coach, brilliant coach. And so, Claire, welcome. We're glad that you're here for this interview.
Thank you.
Claire, as a place to begin, before we jump into the topic, Creating New Awareness, I'd love for our students to hear a little bit more about you and your coaching journey. So would you tell them a little bit about it?
Of course.
Okay.
But coaching journeys are interesting, aren't they? Because my journey started a long time before I knew anything about coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a job working with an international not-for-profit, helping people who were interested in working in mission and aid and development. And it was called Information and Counseling Secretary, which is a dreadful name. I don't know why I applied for it. Anyway, what I was doing was I was helping people think through their options in relation to working overseas in a non-directive way, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I've ever done my whole career. And then in the late 90s, I read an article in a magazine that my mother had kept for me next to her spare bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about Thomas Leonard, and it was about coaching.
Oh.
And I read this article, and I looked at it, and I thought, that's what I do.
Uh-huh.
So suddenly, my whole career that I'd never been able to explain to anybody what I did, I suddenly realized that I was a coach.
Ah.
And my kids were at that age, what the younger one was about to go to nursery school, and I was going to have some more time. And I'd been thinking for a long time, it's time to get myself trained up in what I do now, because I was originally trained as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, suddenly seeing coaching as the word, I thought, yeah, I can get coaching skills training. So there were two choices back in 1997 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
One was to go to Scotland for long weekends, which just wasn't going to work from my home with my family commitments, or to learn on telecons with Coach University in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked really well around the family, so that's what I did.
Mm.
And I believe, Val, that you and I may have been on some classes together.
I'd love to find out if we must have been, because we were in school together at the same time.
We were. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah. Wow. That is neat. And I love that, you know, here you found the word to describe what you'd been doing all along.
It was such a relief.
Oh, I love that, Claire. That is tremendous. That's tremendous. I'm curious, you do coach training now with pastors. You also coach in other arenas too, right?
We do. We do. Our two biggest customers at the moment are the Church of England, which is the Episcopal Anglican Church in the UK,
mm-hmm.
and the National Health Service, where we coach people involved in public health.
Okay.
Although, from some phone calls we've had this week, we may also be moving into transport. But our biggest customers up to now have been the Church of England and the National Health Service, which are very similar and very different. So it's good. It's good to have a foot in both sides, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Great. Well, let's move into our topic for today then, Claire. And, in your coaching, how do you create new awareness?
Well, I have to say to you, this is my favorite coaching competency.
Okay.
I love it. I love it because for me, if my clients are going to get it, then that's the thing that's going to shift the conversation forwards. And I just love that quote from a famous Belgian, Maurice Maeterlinck, who said it's far more important that our lives be perceived than that they be transformed. For once they've been perceived, they will transform themselves of their own accord.
Oh, that's a great quote.
And I just think that you can get, if you can help clients to have new awareness and get perception, then the transformation just kind of comes out of it. So suddenly the client's going to go ka-ching. And then there's very little coaching, I think, to be done after that, because they've got it, and once they've got it, they can go and put it into practice.
So really, like, creating new awareness is the hinge then?
I think so. I really do think so. Mm-hmm. And often I notice, I'm sorry, I'm not answering your question.
No, that's okay. Keep going.
often I notice that if somebody has a big revelation in a conversation, mm-hmm. In an hour coaching session, and some of our coaching we do on courses where we only see people for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go, my goodness, I need to talk to you every week for the next 6 months. And I'll say, well, go away and think about what you now know that you didn't know before and live with it for a few weeks, and then come back in a few weeks' time if you still think that's the case. And they never come back, because once they've got it, everything changes.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm.
So to answer your question, how do I do it?
Yeah. Yeah, tell us the secret.
Well, my favorite... I think it doesn't happen, and this is answering a different question, I'm sorry, but mm-hmm. I think it doesn't happen when clients get too caught up in the story and they can't see. In England, we would say they can't see the wood for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't see what's going on. So I think that, how do I do it? I do it by trying to get them out of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that in a number of ways. My favorite is using what they call constellations. So if I'm coaching somebody face to face, I'll have a blank piece of paper, or they may be a flip chart in the room, and I'll just say to them, so draw it. Draw what's, you know, this is you. Draw what's going on. Draw what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And what I then will do is I will coach the picture and not the story. And that immediately gets the client out of being stuck in the story to begin to see things in a different way. And it works so brilliantly, so brilliantly.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it on the phone as well. So I might say to you, okay, so if you've got a piece of paper in front of you, just draw what you're talking about. So there's you and there's this person that you're in conflict with.
Mm-hmm.
So who else is on your piece of paper? So what else do you see?
Mm-hmm.
What else do you see? What do you notice about where you've put them? Mm. What size are they?
Yeah.
And really helping the client think about it differently.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Claire. I've never heard that, using the piece of paper. You know, what I've used in the past is walk to the other side of the room and then turn around and look at the same thing differently.
Yeah.
Which is what this is about, isn't it? Just look at the same thing, just different.
Yeah. You can also do it with buttons.
Say more about that.
So I might, is buttons a word that translates?
Yeah, but buttons, you mean like buttons on a shirt or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've got a button. So I might tip the buttons onto the table and say, choose a button that's you.
Okay.
Now choose some other buttons that represent who else is around.
Uh-huh.
And then get the client to have a look. The only thing is about not touching their buttons and not taking the pen. If you're doing it on a pen, it's their pen and they draw on their picture. So I might touch their picture with my hand, but I won't draw on their page.
Oh, say some more about what you just said here about, you know, I'm not going to draw on their page. How important is that?
To not draw on their page?
Yeah.
It's really, really important, because the one thing that I know is I don't fully understand their picture.
Mm.
So I might, so if there's a blank piece on the side, or let me give you a real life example from last week. This person was drawing it all up and she'd got arrows from everybody to everybody else, except there was one isolated circle that wasn't connected to anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, I wonder what it feels, and I touched that circle, and I said, I wonder what it feels like over here. And she then went to another circle, and she said, it feels as though this person is pulsating with hugeness, and it feels as though they have to ebb and flow depending on how big this other person is being. And then she went, so now I understand what my question is.
Once perceived, the transformation follows.
Exactly. It's amazing. And it's so quick. Because I noticed that once clients start explaining a complex situation, they just feel they need to explain a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
We understand about this, and you need to understand that that lady in the congregation fell out with whoever 25 years ago, and since then all these things have happened. And suddenly you just spend a long time getting the data out, which of course your client already knows.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing, Constellations, really shifts it quickly forward, I think.
I like that. That's tremendous. That's tremendous, Claire. Thank you. Any other?
I've given you my best one first.
You have. Yeah. I mean, that's new to me. I love it. What are there some other ways that, you know, that you create new awareness?
I think one is to ask really direct questions. One of my clients says that my coaching is like a velvet knife. And I go, is that all right? And they go, well, it isn't straight away, but it is afterwards. So one of my ways of asking, of creating awareness is to ask very, very direct questions.
Yeah.
Another way is to bring other stakeholders into the room. So to bring other people into the room. So if the chair of your church council was in here now, what would they be saying to us? If your husband was in here now,
mm-hmm.
you're talking about somebody's overwork. So if your husband or your wife were in this room now, your children,
mm-hmm.
what would they be saying to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your youth worker, your staff, your whoever.
Yeah.
The poorest person in your community. The old lady who's given up everything in order to give money to the church every week for the last 100 years. If she was in here now, what would she be saying to us?
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite a handy one.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And Claire, all we need to do is just increase the perception, just a smidgen, just a crack. We don't need like huge new awarenesses.
No.
Just a little bit. And the huge follows. Yeah.
Exactly. And the transformation just mm-hmm. comes from understanding it differently, mm. I think.
Yeah.
And the other one, my other one is if, I think sometimes we end up coaching people who demonstrate in the coaching space what's happening, what they're describing in their work context.
Okay. So, say more about that.
So somebody might be describing a lack of confidence with their church council or with colleagues or with people in their congregation. And then that might show in the coaching that they might actually have a lack of confidence.
Okay.
In how they answer questions, in what they do and in other things. And I then use the pause button and say, can we just press pause? What just happened right now in the room?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do we need to learn from that? So that would be another way, I think, of creating awareness, is to just get them to see it happening live.
Mm. Yeah, and often they do show up exactly that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm. Exactly. Or I might say how I'm feeling. You know, I'm feeling a bit stuck here. I'm wondering how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also quite helpful. And I've got mm-hmm. another one that's just completely gone out of my mind. Oh, I know what it is. We talk a lot about say what you see without judgment.
Mm.
And I think that's one of the important ways of creating awareness.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the fundamental, you'd call them building blocks, wouldn't you, Val?
Yeah, yes.
That say what you see without judgment. So if we see it happening in the room, then mm-hmm. I would name it. And also, if somebody's describing an action, so I'm going to do this, I'm going to have this conversation with so-and-so, I would actually say to them, right, I'm so-and-so, tell me what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And we call that real play.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that comes out as new awareness is that there's a massive difference between what I decide to do and hearing myself say it to somebody else.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
And again, that's quite a handy thing to really embed learning.
Mm. Wow. Claire, you've just given our students just a whole host of skills and techniques here. This is fabulous. And
it's
really,
a pleasure.
Yeah, really. Yeah, tremendous. And I still like your first one. Yeah, I'm going to try that. Whoever I coach after this, the top of the hour, is going to get that, Claire.
Okay.
I'll let you know how it goes. Hey, let's keep going with the topic. And I'm just curious, what gets in the way of new awareness with those that you coach? So with them.
I think the big one is getting stuck in the story.
Okay. Yeah.
And I have this endless question, which is, can people who don't seem to have self-awareness gain self-awareness? And I think that can be a block.
Say that again, Claire. Yeah. That's interesting. The question.
I want to know what you think. People who are not demonstrating much self-awareness, can they acquire self-awareness?
Wow. Well, Claire, I want to believe that people can, but I think isn't there a willingness or readiness on their part?
Well, if you're not self-aware, can you be aware that you're not self-aware?
Well, that's a good question.
There's a really interesting conversation going on LinkedIn about emotional intelligence, and this person said that they give people an emotional intelligence questionnaire to discern how emotionally intelligent they are. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole set of closed questions. Do you do this? Yes or no. Do you do that? Yes or no. Do you do the other? Yes or no. And at the end of it, it tells you what your emotional intelligence quotient is. Mm-hmm. But that's self-reported.
Mm.
So I think about somebody who I might experience as not being very self-aware. They're not going to score themselves in the same way that one of their colleagues would score them.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, you almost need a 360 score of emotional intelligence.
Even then, I just wonder whether that awareness is going to come as freely.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's an interesting one. And mm-hmm. the other blockage, I think, that gets in the way of people who you coach, who I coach, is when they're so anxious about the situation that they're so close to it that they are really, really struggling to step back. And that's when the constellations thing can be really, really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems to be a common theme in what you're talking about today. Just the ability to step back, even just a half step.
Yeah.
Cause we are close. We're in it. I mean, that's the value of the coach. We're in it, but we're not in it.
Yeah.
We're with you, but we're also out.
Yes.
Of it. Yeah. Which is,
absolutely.
Yeah. I often have newer coaches say, can I coach family? Well, if you can not be in the story. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can help.
Yeah.
But,
and the velvet knife thing, you might have a really, really good and insightful question that's going to create awareness, mm-hmm. but it's much more impactful if it comes from complete blind ignorance and is only based on what you've experienced in the room or on the phone.
Yes.
Than it is if you actually have other data from other parts of your life, I think.
Yeah, I frequently had people say to me that I've coached, wow, that's exactly what so-and-so has been telling me for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think there is power in this, someone completely outside of the story naming the same thing.
Yeah, or they go, why did you say that?
Yeah.
And you go, I just had a sense that that was the right thing to ask you, or that was the right thing to say or observe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, but all these people have always been telling me, did somebody tell you to say it? You go, no.
Yeah, no. No, they didn't pay me to say that. No.
For pastors, I just love the question. I love two questions. One is, how does God normally guide you?
Mm.
That creates new awareness.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah.
And then the other one is God calling you to stay where you are. Mm-hmm. Also, I think. I don't like formulaic questions, but I do find those two quite useful.
Mm-hmm. Those are good. That second one is God calling you to stay where you are. Yeah. At least in the States, often many of the clergy I coach are, they're ready to jump, move on, move forward, next, and really haven't even considered, am I being called to just stay?
I'll give you my other one. Sorry, my other okay. one. This, I'm not sure if this is creating new awareness or direct communication.
Okay.
But I often say to ministers who know they need to move
mm-hmm.
and yet are choosing not to, so if you decide to stay in that place, in that congregation for the next 10 years until you retire, what do you need to do differently to work, make it worth the £500,000 it's going to cost the Church of England to keep you there?
That's good.
Because we don't do bottom line
yes,
in the church.
I
and
know.
Actually, it's the truth. You know, if the church was to invest that much money on mission or evangelism or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it would get certain outcomes. And if it's going to invest it on somebody who's not going to do very much in their parish or congregation,
mm-hmm.
then there is some choices to be made.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That, I love that.
I told you they said I was direct.
Well, but you know what's great is that bottom line directness really helps create awareness. I mean,
well, I think so.
Yeah, even I'm not even the one in the situation, but just hearing the question causes me to go, "Whoa."
Yeah.
To look at it differently.
Yeah.
Great, great. Hey, well, let's kind of round the corner here and here's a slightly different take on creating new awareness. What's most challenging for you as a coach when it comes to creating new awareness?
That's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I think there's something about, if I think I can see or sense something and they can't, it's quite a challenge to hold the coaching edge and not sell what I see. To say what I see rather
yeah.
than sell what I see.
So I'd like you to elaborate more on that. Sell what I see versus say what I see.
Well, I think what I notice when I'm doing supervision and mentoring in new coaches particularly is that you can get a hypothesis or a hunch and you can be chasing it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're chasing it, what you're actually doing is the whole dynamic of where the responsibility is in the room and who's doing the work gets a little bit skewed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the challenge for me is in situations with clients where I ask the direct question, I ask the perceiving question, and they don't perceive.
Mm-hmm.
It's how do you directly communicate that, saying what you see without judgment, in a different way rather than beginning to form your questions in order to sell your amazing idea?
Yeah. What helps you with that, Claire?
I have a supervisor on my shoulder, my self-supervision thing. It goes, what's going on here, Claire?
Uh-huh.
I mean, we don't always stay the clean side of the line, do we? However mm-hmm. experienced we are, I think sometimes we do think afterwards, golly, I think I've pushed that a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
And there's something there, isn't there, about being honest.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's particularly difficult when we are quite expert in the subject which our client is talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or when we have strong opinions in the subject which our client is talking about.
Yep.
And there's a kind of ethical question that I ask myself, which is this me?
Mm-hmm.
Is this in service of what I think, or is this in service of them?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this actually in many ways gets us back to our own awareness as a coach, our own self-awareness. Yeah. How self-aware am I as a coach?
Exactly. And where am I doing my reflection?
Yes.
And where am I doing the work that I need to do in order to support my client to do the work they need to do?
Yeah. That's key, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you as the coach need to be doing your own work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, am I so hooked into a story that's so similar to theirs that I can't see the wood for the trees and therefore I can't ask those questions?
Mm-hmm.
And what am I going to do if that's the case.
Yep. This is good stuff, Claire. Really good. And just a great way to kind of bring this to a close, the whole creating awareness with those questions that you've raised. Wonderful. Wonderful. Let me kind of bring it home then. Any kind of last, here's the number one thing I'd say to a new coach about creating new awareness, or anything you want to reiterate again just so it's really drilled home?
It's more about perception than transformation.
Right back where we started.
So it's far more important that our lives be perceived than that they be transformed. For once they be perceived, they will transform themselves of their own accord. Yeah. And we may need to stop the coaching session when the perception's happened, because running to action is unnecessary, because what the client may need to do is to go away and think about it, and then everything else will fall into place.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes when huge awareness has emerged during a coaching session, the best thing to do is to check out with them whether it's appropriate to stop. Because if we take a break for an hour or 2 weeks or a month or 6 weeks, when we come back, we will be starting in a completely new universe.
That is so true, yeah.
And what I don't think it serves them to go to transactional outcomes when they've just had a transformational moment.
Yeah, I would agree. Claire, I don't think I've ever heard anyone put it that way. And that I think that's profound and spot on. And what great advice to just say, stop the coaching.
Yeah. Nancy Klein says, never underestimate the power of the human mind.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we can see it. Peter Hawkins says that transformational moment happens when there's a shift in the room. And I think often you can hear it on the phone, or you can see it in your client's eyes. And I would then be really direct and say, what do we need to do now? We can carry on, or we can stop. You decide.
Yep. Put the responsibility on them.
Absolutely.
Good. Well, Claire, thank you. This has been just a wealth of information for our students. I loved hearing your story at the beginning. And Claire, true to form, you came up with a quote again. That's students, one of the things I love about Claire is you have quotes and they're just so appropriate. And like the one you shared today, that's in a nutshell exactly about creating new awareness. So thank you for that, Claire.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Well, let me end our recording. And thank you again, Claire.